Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, we're back again. Hi, you and I, we're here again to talk about what thus saith the Lord and hear about what thus saith the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to the Hour of Power, the Hour for Power, the Dr. Cupertino Show. Yay, hallelujah. Still alive one more day, one more day, one more time, one more opportunity to say, for God I live and for God I die. What else are you going to live for? Who else are you going to die for? Hallelujah. What a fantastic choice coming from the lips of a human. But before we go into everything good about God, because he's listening, he's not dead. We are the ones that are dead outside of his will. We're going to hear, and we're also going to know after this show why that is so and why it is a number one truth. We're all dead men outside of his will. Let's bow. Let's sit down. Let's drop our heads just for a moment of prayer. Hallelujah, holy God, in the name of Jesus, eternal God, eternal Father. We come to you this morning thanking you that we're up again. Could have been in a cooler somewhere in a morgue, but obviously you have something else in mind for us to do. You did in the beginning, or we would not be sitting and standing here right now. And because we recognize that with all of our being, we can shout, yay, yay to your will and yay to your name, and yay to everything that you have in store. Yes, God, we know it looks bad. Yes, oh my God, it looks terrible out here in this world. So much is going on, so many things we're hearing is just about to take us out, although while we live. But we know that you are God of purpose, you're God of intention, you're God of everything good and great. And that's why we're here to hear what you have to say to us this morning on this show. Thank you, God, for hearing us and for saying yes to everything good in our lives, because we want to be a living example to you here on earth. Thank you, God. Oh, God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, God, amen. You know, people have stopped saying that God is dead because now they're running scared. But anyone that is still hanging on to that old phrase that really started somewhere around the 60s, the 1960s, you know, the love revolution, the revolution of doing what I want to do, you want to do, hey. But we're going to hear today that anyone living outside of God's will, you're a dead man, you're a dead woman. You might have a little money in the bank. You might have some good shoes on your feet, but you're dead. You are dead. You are dead. You are dead outside of God's will. How do you live outside of God's will, doing what you want to do and not going to God to find out what he wants you to do? You know, some still are saying that God is dead, but I'm telling you, they are all living on God and about God, because their sinful nature has overtaken them. Yes, they're telling stories. They're lying. They're lying on God. And also because we know Satan, who you hear very little about today, is goading them on to disrespect and hate what they think that God stands for. In one sweep, God could clear this planet known as Earth within seconds. But you know what? God is not going to do that because he would be out of his will and out of purpose. But we're going to share three ways today, this morning, for all to know that God is not dead, because he's looking and booking, he's taking notes on every one of us, all of his creative works, and that means you are on his radar for goodness or for judgment. So we're going to start talking now about how we can realize that God is not dead. Number one, Titus 1:2 says that God cannot lie. God has already declared in his word through his major and minor prophets that I am the living God, I dieth not. I am the Alpha and the omega, I die not. So if he doesn't die, that means what I feel and how I feel and what I want to say about him is of no value. Unless, of course, it is good and it's words of praise. But God says, I am of the beginning and the end. So that means God cannot die. No one can crucify God. Might have crucified his son, but you can't get God. Bible says no man has seen God. No man living has seen God. Then and, of course, now. So with that in mind, how can our actions and the things we say reflect that there's not a living God? We've got to put ourselves in check. No, God is not dead. But if I'm walking around doing things that I know God does not like, and let me tell you something. People would say, oh, Dr. Cappuccino, you know, I haven't read the Bible, so I don't know what it says, you know. So whatever I'm doing, you know, I'm not trying to go against God. But like I said, I don't know what God wants of me. I don't know what he wants me to do. I don't know what he wants me to say. I don't know what and how he wants me to act. I don't know anything about God. But let me say this. The Bible says in Genesis that we were created in God's image. Created in God's image means, my goodness, you have feelings, you have a heart, you have a mind of thoughts and thinking patterns, and you have a will that God has interjected in you at the time of his creative work with man, regarding man, bringing man into existence. So whether we have read the Bible from cover to cover, that is of no value outside of his will, but whether we have or not, inside of us, we were created to worship and serve God. So that means we have some inkling, we have some inner knowledge of God. People say, oh, I don't have a Bible, I don't have this. You know what? Stop it. You know when you're getting ready to do something that's not right. You know when you're getting ready to start talking about something that's not right. When you start thinking and your thoughts are not geared toward holy things, holy acts, and bringing you into holiness with God, you already know that. So you have some intuitiveness in you that tells you what is bad and what is good. And it also tells you that if you're still walking about breathing upright, there is a God somewhere. Some of us know we don't even deserve to be living, because we have just got so crazy outside of the will of God, talking trash, talking crazy, acting like you're trash of Satan. You know this. God is not dead. God is looking, and he's checking on his creative process, meaning you, meaning I. You know, our last week, in fact, the whole last month, of our weekly broadcast is talking about God and how he has need of us. He has need of you. God just didn't create us just to sit up there and, you know, thumb his fingers and say, oh, look at them moving. Oh, look at them singing. Oh, look at them walking. Oh, look at them talking. God has something in mind. God has something in mind. And if you were born any time after Adam and Eve, let me tell you something. The fight is on. Wickedness has spread wholesale all around the globe. So God really being, still being alive, still has something for his creatures to do. He says, come on into my will. Come on into my rest, and I can use you for great works. People are saying, oh, you know, well, I guess I was born to do whatever I want to do. I didn't actually come here, so, you know, what the hell? I'm going to do whatever I'm big enough to do, whatever I feel like I should be doing. But no, that is not the purpose of your creation, your creative process. You yourself, you were created for a purpose. You were created to do what God would have you to do. Whether you pick up a Bible or not, you know you're supposed to love your neighbor. No one has to tell you that. You're supposed to be kind to children. You're supposed to domesticate animals, not kill them and take their life just for nothing. You at least know that. You also know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, no law on the book has to tell any of us, don't go down the street killing 2, 3, 5 people, something innocent. That's not right. we already know, even the Bible does not speak of an automobile vehicle, but you know not to get in your car and drive on the wrong side of the street and just run into people at bus stops. Something in you tell you that, okay, God, if God was dead, the spiritual essence of God was dead, then you would not be able to conduct your life right now in a feasible manner. Because the Bible says the Spirit of God is in every man. When he created Adam and Eve, he transferred some of him into them. And then when they lay down to give birth and to bring forth children, as they were commanded to do, guess what? That spirit, that transference of spirit is in every one of us. So how can we say God is dead? God was dead, we would be dead too. Listen. Look what happens at the person's demise. You see the remains there. You see the body laying there. You see the body in the coffin laying over there. But the body is not moving. Why? Because the spirit of it is gone. The Bible says the spirit of man, that spirit upon his deceased man goes back to God. So if God was dead, you too would be dead. You would not have your being. But on a psychological level, when we turn our back on God, when we make up the decision, oh, well, you know what, forget this mess. I don't see him. I don't feel him. He must be dead. He's not telling me anything. I don't believe what those other people say. Oh, God called me. God said this to me at midnight. God. You're already dead. The spirit's essence of you is gone. You're dead, living outside of God's will. But when you get in, like my daddy said, get in where you fit in. You know where you fit in? As a child of God. If he created you, and the ancient prophets, ancient apostles says, oh, they opened the Bible up, especially Paul, little children, God would have view of this. God would have view of that. You're dead. I'm dead. We're all dead men walking outside of God's will. So when you say, oh, my life is a mess, well, you're dead. Oh, my life is terrible. Well, you must be dead. Oh, I can't seem to make ends meet. Oh, you might be dead. Oh, everything in my life is going so crazy. You might be dead. Oh, you know, every time I wake up, open my eyes up, there's some bad news. There's some crazy stuff going on. You might be dead. But when people get into the will of God, and how do I get into the will of God? When people get into the will of God by saying, okay, you know what? I'm going to stop this train right now. All you have to do is fall down on your knees. You know, we talked about this last week. God help me. Save me, God. God is. You don't have to go into a big spill with God because he's waiting for you to return to him. Outside of God's will, you want to get back inside the will of God because you're now hearing that, no, he's not dead. How could he be dead? Sun's still coming out. Moon's still giving its light. God save me. God help me. That's all you have to say. Might be in the prison cell. God help me. God is. Man might be ready to walk out the door. God help me. You've already done everything you can do. God help me. Outside of his will. And what is God's will? That we do good, that we walk good in the face with our neighbors, and that we treat children right, and that most of all, we declare to God, you are my God, I am your son, I am your daughter. Show me what to do. I'm tired of being on the run. Look at what happened with the three escapees here in Orange County. One of them just walked in and said, you know what, this is it. I surrender. You too can run only so much. You too can eat only so much food. You too can tell only so many lies, thinking you're going to stay afloat with that. You need God. Man will tell you there's no Satan, there's no God. Man will tell you by his example that, oh, you know, everything is going good. You know, I'm not running anywhere talking about God. But let me tell you something. Moses says 70 or 80 with special mightiness on your deathbed, you're going to wish you would have gone to God because you need to know where you're going to spend your eternity. And even if you don't care about that, oh, well, when I'm dead, I'm dead. No, you're not. The Bible says that there's appointed a time for men and women to go off of this scene, and you should be concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. Oh, well, I got money. You know, I've lived a good life. I don't need to answer to anyone. I don't have to give a you-know-what, D-A-M-N, about anyone. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because not doing so means you're living out of the will of God. I can guarantee you this. For all that think they're going to live off of their money's reputation, yes, money has a reputation. Yeah, people think only man has reputation. No, money has reputation. They think they want to live off of the reputation of their money. I don't think so. The Bible says, in a minute, those four horses of the apocalypse riding up above our heads, in a minute, the silver and gold is not going to be of any value. Then what are you going to do? Sit looking out the window begging God to kill you? That's not going to happen. Right now, this is acceptable time to get in the will of God. Well, how do you get in the will of God? You're going to start praying to God, asking for God's help. You're going to start looking to God and not to yourself and your riches to run your life in an acceptable manner. You're going to make up in your mind that whether it's 1 hour a week or it's 1 second a day, you're going to tell somebody that God is not dead and that he is really living. You're going to tell somebody that it is Satan, the one that used to be called Lucifer, that has led man into this horrible state that they're in, on a collision course with God. And nothing's right in Satan's world. I call him Mr. Satan. Look at his world. He's getting defects by the second. All of his institutions that he set up, they're rotting from within and without. You can't run into anything in this world and look for shelter. It's not going to happen. The financial crisis is just a second ahead. People are talking about the high price of food. You know, there's millions of Americans on food stamps. 62% of all in America alone are on the verge of bankruptcy. Some of them have less than $1,000 in the bank. If a major catastrophe happened, it would be thousands homeless within a week. Let me tell you something. We're in trouble. You know why we're in trouble? Because we've lived our life like God is dead. We've acted in our lives and in the lives of others like God is dead. The Bible says we cannot direct our own step. So what are we doing? What are we talking about? What kind of example are we living under God? God says, come unto me, and I will come unto you. And again, if you were born, we don't care what mommy said, what daddy said. If you were born, if you're listening to this broadcast, God had you come into existence for a purpose. Not to drink Johnny Walker Black all night long. Not to homemonger all week long. Every time a great man falls, women, whiskey, drug, women, whiskey, drug. Come on now. Come on now. Man, come on. You fell down in the Garden of Eden behind the same stuff. Now, come on. That's not the image you want to portray before God, that you're weak like that. Come on. The world has need of thee. God has need of you. You were created first. It's time to get busy doing the works of God. Yes, you might lose a little something. Yes, you might not be a great notoriety talking about God and talking about how God sent his son down through 42 generations, the one called Jesus, the one that was able to buy back man out of a horrific sinful state. Bible says all have sinned and living in a sinful state, but here he comes. Here comes Jesus. He says, I'm going to undo what Adam did. Adam brought sin into the world. I'm going to give my life to take it out. He did just what he said he was going to do, all the way to Golgotha, hung there, bled and died, raised up 3 days. Come on, my God. The record is on file in the Bible. We've read everything. We've done everything we were destined to do outside the will of God, sin and die. Outside the will of God, sin and die. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. And it's not worth your life's time and your life's effort to go out like that. Sure, anybody can turn on God. Anybody can turn on his son's redemption power. But let me tell you something. The Bible says there's a fiery judgment, where a man is going to have to fall down, and come to God sooner or later. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says that it is God's will that all of us should come to repentance and not continue to walk toward death. We're going to die. We already know we have a one-way ticket to death because it's already been appointed once for man to die. But it's also been appointed for him to reign and rule with God in heaven. Doesn't that sound like something that is better than just going about? If you have your Bible, turn over to 1 Peter 2:15. Do you have your Bible, Sandy? 1 Peter 2:15. I'm going to read something here. 1 Peter 2:15. Let me tell you what that says here. 1 Peter 2:15. Just the scripture here. As obedient children, I'm starting at 14, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, then he's saying that you should be holy. Be holy in all that you do. And then going on over to 2:15, it says, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. You know what? Those fools out there saying God is dead. You ought to be concentrating on living holy. You ought to be concentrating on making God look good. You ought to be concentrating, and me too, on creating an atmosphere by which God will get praise. Because it's, we just heard here, it's God's will that by doing good, you shall silence the ignorant man. These fools know he's not dead. They want to put him in the coffin of the spirit so that they can look the other way and live their lives as they want to. But I tell you what, life's going to be cut short. Might be rumbling right now. Life's going to be cut short. AIDS, out of control. HIV is out of control. Gonorrhea, out of control. Infectious diseases on earth, out of control. New emerging diseases with no cure. Everything out of control. This is the world that these people have created, all in the name of unholy cash. This is what they've done. The poor man with nothing has not done this. All those with wealth, not running the world, living out of God's will as they should. They're nothing. Anybody can cover up a sack of filth. Anybody can cover up a body ravaged by disease. That is nothing. But for us, for you and me, we just know it's God's will. You've been living out of God's will, but let's say this. You won't do it after this broadcast because you've learned. 1 Peter 2:15 says it is God's will that by doing good, you shut these people up. Shut them up. Shut them up. It is God's will that by doing good, do some good. Shut these folk up. You don't have to say anything. Just go about doing your own business. You already know that you're dead, living outside of God's will. There's nothing to do with anyone living out of his will. But we've learned today that God's will is that you do go, I don't know what God wants me to do. I haven't heard him say anything to me. He hasn't come down and sat on my bed and said, look, I want you to do this, this, that, and the other. But you know now you can crouch on that. You know now that it is God's will that by doing good. Look, that's all you have to do. You don't have to pick up the phone and call anyone and say, okay, you're over there whoremonger, you're going to die. You don't have to do that. You don't have to tell your son, you know what? If I catch in that girl's bed again, you're going to die. You don't have to tell anyone anything. Good. Well, what is good? Here is what the definition of good is. A refrain from evil. Okay, I'll say it again. Oh, well, I don't know. Doing good, you know, what is that? You know, I treat my neighbor right. You know, I'm not running anyone down in my car. You know, I'm not calling around town creating havoc. What is doing good? It says here, for it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant. Good is the absence of evil. Refraining from evil work. That's all it is. You don't need to run to the dictionary for that. Just the opposite of good is bad. Just make up your mind, you know what? Forget that. I'm going to walk in goodness, and I know if I ask God to help me, he's going to help me. I don't have to live like this. I don't have to act like this. I don't have to lie 29 hours a day. I can ask the Savior to help me because it's his will. It's God's will. And any time you get in God's will, he's going to help you. He said it. It's God's will that by doing good, ask God to help you to do good. Ask God to help you to be good. Ask God to bless and anoint you with the spirit to want to do good. The psalmist said, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. God's going to do it because that's in harmony with his will. How are you going to do good with an evil spirit? How are you going to do good with an evil heart? So asking God to take those things away from you means you're going to be in a position to do good, to do good. And I read also in 1 Peter, the first chapter, I'm going to read this again. Therefore, prepare your mind for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Well, he's now revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I tell you what, get on that track and see what you get from God. You will know then that he's not dead because he's going to bless your life. You may not have all you want, but I tell you what, you won't lay down in fear. You'll recognize that money is for purpose, and if God has his purpose for you, you're going to get what God has for you to stay in his will once you get in his will. Ask God, bring me into your will. Bring me, I'm ready, God. Bring me into your will. Once he brings you into, in Jesus' name, no one comes to the Father except through him. In the name of Jesus, bring me into your will. I've lived the dog. I've lived the bastard. I've been awful outside of your will. Bring me in. I give you 30 days. Tell God, I'll give you 30 days. And watch what happens. Now, next week, we're going to have Colonel William Harrison on as a guest. I'm going to be talking with him about a great new book that he's written, The Solution to Civil Unrest. Civil unrest, what is that solution? He's a former chief of police for the city of Capitol Hills, Maryland. Tune in. I'm going to talk the first 15 minutes, and then I'm going to bring him on because we're going to talk about being outside of the will of God, why people are choosing to stay outside of the will of God, and what's going to happen to all of those outside of the will of God. Tune in. You're going to want to hear about this. Because we're also going to talk about this thing called holiness. A lot of people, oh, I can't be holy. I don't think I can. You know, I know I'm going to tell two lies next week. You know, I know I'm going over to my girlfriend's next month. You know, I know I'm going to fly to wherever and tell some lies there. Oh, no, I can't be holy. Oh, yes, you can. God is not asking you to do anything that he knows you cannot do. If he says you must be holy, you have the ability in his son, Christ Jesus, to be holy. You've lived an animal all your life. Now you know he's calling on you to be holy. You can be holy because he himself is holy. And if you're approaching a holy God, common sense tells you you must be holy. You must be holy. You're coming up before holy God. But God and God alone is the only one that can holify you and bring you into his will. You've listened to the lies, they've done you no good. You've lived a life of mayhem and in chaos. It's done you no good. You've had all the money in the world, lost all the money in the world, got all the money in the world again, and then lost it all again. It's done you no good. What are you going to do? You see what's going on. You are called on to be a light in a darkened world and salt to the earth. It's your turn now. God bless you. Tune in same time next week because we're going to have, again, Colonel William Harrison on for 15 minutes for interview, and we're going to hear from him as a former chief of police about what he thinks about living holy, about what he thinks about a world that's not living holy outside the will of God. God bless you. Tune in next week. I love you. Send me an email, mothernature7@gmail.com. God bless you. Have a great week. Have a marvelous week and a good life in God.